you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by You Beauty and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Conversation time today on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And Dr. Mike will introduce her. And I'm expecting a stimulating interview. Introduce the guest, Mike.
Well, Dr. Fiona Gupta is our guest today. She's an expert on Parkinson's disease and is medical director of the Deep Brain Stimulation, DBS, program of movement disorders at Hackensack University Medical Center. If you want to ask her a question directly, it's at Fiona, F-I-O-N-A, Gupta, M-D. By her Twitter handle is Fiona Gupta, M-D. So you can do that directly. If you want to get her on a web, www.NorthJerseyBrainSpineCenter.com. So she is the principal investigator of clinical trials of movement disorders, which are being conducted at Hackensack. So she's a neurosurgeon who's specializing in this. And one of the interesting things is she specializes in Parkinson's disease. So Dr. Gupta, what is Parkinson's disease? How common is it? And is it getting more frequent?
Right. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, it's really important to discuss Parkinson's disease because it is becoming more and more common. And there are so many symptoms that encompass Parkinson's disease. So I think education is really, really important with regards to just adequate treatment. There's about 1 million people in the U.S. who have Parkinson's disease. So, you know, it is becoming more common, and there's about 60,000 new cases per year. But those numbers, actually, in the next 10 years are going to double, if not even triple beyond that. So this is why it's very important to have a lot of awareness with something like Parkinson's disease. And my role as a movement disorder neurologist is really to educate.
And so there are 1 million people with it. Now, tell me about a little bit more about Parkinson's disease. That is, what is it? And although it's movement disorder, we've heard from Robin Williams it can create depression. We know from Michael Fox it creates some funny movements. But tell us more, a little bit more about what we should know about it and what you should know if you're worried about getting it. Is there any way of preventing it? What do we do for treatment? Is there any reason to look for early signs? What are the early signs?
And those are all terrific questions. So, yes, Parkinson's disease is considered a movement disorder, a disorder of movement. And there are kind of four symptoms that we look for when we make a diagnosis of Parkinson's. One of them might be a tremor. Tremor is usually a resting tremor where a patient their limb is at rest and they begin to shake, but when they actually go to pick something up, the tremor stops. It's a little different than something called an essential tremor. Another cardinal sign is muscle rigidity. So patients often find that their limb becomes heavy or they're dragging a foot or the dexterity is off. The third cardinal feature is called bradykinesia. That basically means slow movement. So, you know, things like brushing your teeth, getting dressed, just daily activities have become slower. And then, you know, the fourth cardinal feature needed to make a diagnosis is gait instability, so falls or, you know, difficulty initiating gait, difficulty not swinging an arm, you know, turns not being smooth. But it's very important to realize that every single patient with Parkinson's is different. There's really no two people that are alike in how they present in their symptom course and how they respond to medication and other treatments. So even though we have those four features that, you know, you usually need two or three to make a diagnosis, everyone is very different. It was an excellent question you asked about early Parkinson's, because now we have learned that there is a slew of symptoms called premotor or early signs and symptoms of Parkinson's that may develop even before someone becomes stiff or slow or shaky. And these are things like depression. Depression is very common in Parkinson's disease. And now we know that it can manifest even up to like 5 years before the onset of actually motor symptoms. Other things that may occur are things like loss of smell. There's something called REM behavioral disorder, where patients actually tend to yell in their sleep or talk in their sleep or thrash and have vivid dreams. We now know that may be a symptom or a precursor of Parkinson's disease, and a few other symptoms like constipation and anxiety. So these may account for, you know, these premotor symptoms or signs. And I think why these are important to understand as being symptoms that may present before actually the motor symptoms occur in Parkinson's is really because we know through many good studies and just our own clinical experience that things like exercise and, you know, dietary modification and proper sleep and stress reduction, these all play a significant role in, you know, potentially slowing down the progression of Parkinson's and improving quality of life. So perhaps if we can identify individuals that might be more prone to developing Parkinson's, we can implement these quality of life measures a bit earlier on.
Is there, what about early, we've got a email from someone said, what about early drug treatment? Does early drug treatment slow it? What about early exercise? You've talked about, we've talked before on the show about exercise with Jay Alperts about exercise being something that may cause improvements or remissions in it. What about that? Does early exercise help?
Sure. So exercise, 100%, definitely, yes, will help. And I believe it will help with slowing the progression of Parkinson's. So this is why whenever I make a diagnosis of Parkinson's, whether it's sort of in the premotor or motor phase, we have a long discussion about exercise. It's absolutely crucial in regards to living well with Parkinson's disease. There have been some studies looking at, you know, just quality of life in patients who are treated with medication early than those who, you know, kind of took the old approach of watch and wait, and those who actually started medication earlier, they did better with quality of life. But at this point, you know, there's really nothing definitive that comes in medication form that I believe is, you know, will slow the progression, but it does help a lot with quality of life.
And now you're involved with deep brain stimulation. Tell us a little bit about deep brain stimulation and what that does.
So deep brain stimulation, or DBS as it's kind of referred to, has really revolutionized the treatment of Parkinson's disease. Basically, deep brain stimulation is a surgical procedure. It involves inserting a small, you know, electrode the size of a piece of hair into a target area of the brain. There's different targets, are really responsible for creating this dysfunction in the brain that's not communicating effectively with the body that is causing the Parkinson's symptoms. So by putting in a stimulator into the brain, it's then connected through a wire into the chest wall. There's a small pacemaker. We can program and we can adjust and we can modulate and stimulate the brain in different ways to really control the symptoms of Parkinson's disease very effectively. Deep brain stimulation will help patients, especially those who are taking a medication called levodopa, or Sinemet is another name. Basically, in those patients who are very responsive to the medication, they take the medication, they do well, but over time that effect is less and less, and patients are having to take more medication. They're having issues where they might be on with the medication, it's helping them move, but then they sharply come off and then became very stiff and rigid and tremulous. That's called motor fluctuations. Or when patients take their medication and they get those big, funny, kind of writhing movements that you mentioned earlier on. So when that occurs, deep brain stimulation is an excellent option because you're really offering patients another way of controlling their symptoms. And in some cases, we are able to reduce the medication quite significantly. So there's many positives with deep brain stimulation. And I encourage all patients with Parkinson's disease, whether or not they may be a candidate, or no matter what stage they are in the course of the Parkinson's disease, to really learn about this treatment. It's really revolutionized Parkinson's disease, and there's over 100,000 patients in the U.S. who have had it. So this is not
research. Okay, we will continue with that when we come back. We've got a hard break now, Dr. Gupta. We've been talking with Dr. Fiona Gupta, on Parkinson's disease, you, the Owner's Manual radio show. Call in if you want. We'll be right back.
You're getting older and feeling older. And you're looking older. Well, you may feel like, well, there isn't anything I can do about it. But there is. BioCell Collagen helps you fight aging and your achy joints and pains. BioCell Collagen is a unique, patented supplement that promotes joint health and skin beauty from inside out. Now, in clinical trials, supplementation with BioCell Collagen was proven to boost collagen levels, reduce fine lines and wrinkles, while promoting joint mobility. Sound too good to be true? Find out how this patented supplement can help your skin look younger, improve joint comfort, and quality of life. Just go to BioCellCollagen.com and see what we're talking about. That's BioCellCollagen. BioCellCollagen.com.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.